So just as part of our introduction, you know, Dan's not just taking on a new job as an elder today, right? In the work world or LinkedIn, we would congratulate Dan for his promotion from a deacon to an elder. That's how it works in the work world. But this is anything but Dan moving up the corporate church ladder. We're recognizing how God is building his church by using the people in his church to accomplish his mission. At New Covenant Christian Fellowship, we see that mission of glorifying God together by proclaiming Jesus Christ. So instead of telling Dan how to do his new job as part of our mission, I want to spend a short time this morning, Hebrews 13, telling you how to do your job as part of our mission. Yeah, it's important that Dan serves well as an elder, but he's going to do his job best. Dan's going to do his job best as an elder when the church does the job best. When the members of the church do the job best, the elders have the best ability to do their jobs. Your healthy contribution to the church, it's vital. It's vital to support Dan or any other elders. And honestly, your role in the church, it's just as important as any of the elders. Look at verse number 17, Hebrews 13. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Dan is agreeing to join the elders who've accepted this responsibility of keeping watch over your soul and giving an account to God. I want to encourage you to accept your responsibility as well. The second half of the verse supports the first half. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. The best advantage for you as a member of the church is that Dan and the other elders will be able to lead you with joy and not with groaning. So I've titled this message, Giving a Joyful Account, so you can know the best way you can help Dan as a new elder to give a joyful account in his service to God. I take some personal notes down today as God illuminates how you can personally apply these truths in your spiritual service to the body. First point is being faithful followers, faithful followers. Verse number 7 of Hebrews 13 says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of faith. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith." In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." As elders, we're called to be examples to the flock. And you're called to follow the example. We're not super spiritual. We're certainly not immune from the same challenges and tests and temptations that you experience. We simply want to imitate Christ, and we ask you to imitate us whenever you see us imitating Christ. This is who we're imitating. Look at the reminder of who Jesus is in the next verse, verse 8 of Hebrews 13. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus does not change. He's always perfect. He always will be. He's always the standard that we seek to imitate. And within the last few years, a number of high-profile Christians, they've lost their faith in Christ. They were led astray and began believing a wrong gospel or creating a different Jesus than the Jesus that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. As elders, we ask you to imitate us as we imitate Christ, the one true God. Look at verse 9. "Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings." You know, in 3 John, we hear, "I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth." And the reverse is true. Our joy is robbed when you walk away from the truth. We know that this generation, like every other generation, has diverse and strange teachings that go against the Word of God. Don't believe them. If you're going to be a faithful follower, don't believe the ways of the world, no matter how many people say the same message over and over again. Don't believe them, and don't be tempted by these influencers on social media that want you to follow them instead of following Jesus. Let me tell you, we want you to be faithful followers of not just the elders, but of Jesus Christ himself. We desire that everything that we do as the elders of this church points you in a deeper relationship with him. Otherwise, it has no value. He's the only leader. There's no other leader who suffered for you and died for you so that you could be saved. Verse 12 says, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his blood. Jesus Christ suffered pain and torture and humiliation and death that your sins would be forgiven. Jesus' body was broken so that you would be healed. His blood was spilled so that your sins would be washed white as snow. He rose from the dead so you might raise from the dead, sanctified, made holy by the Holy One himself. Remember how he prayed to his Father on the way to the cross when he prayed for you. Sanctify them, make them holy, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they may also be sanctified or made holy in the truth. As elders, we're asking you to be a faithful follower, that you would be sanctified in the truth, that you wouldn't get led away from the truth to follow another gospel, but that you would follow Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus has never let you down. No matter what's happened in your life, Jesus has never let you down. He never will let you down. Every single other person in this world will eventually let you down. They'll eventually fail you. Your elders, we're human, and we're fallible. We make mistakes, and we will let you down. Maybe I'll let you down today. Maybe it'll be this week. Maybe next month. But sooner or later, your elders or any other person that's human is going to let you down. But Jesus will never let you down. That's why we want you to imitate us as we imitate Christ and follow Christ as you see us following Christ. Don't follow the bad stuff you might see us doing, but follow us when you see us following Christ. Our next point shows that we also give an account with joy when you are sacrificial servants. Look at verse 16. It says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Because you understand the sacrifice of Christ, you understand that he's called you into sacrificial service. The elders are called to sacrifice. And Jesus gave the apostles a perfect picture of what that sacrificial ministry looks like. Remember in that upper room? He said, then I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Jesus himself sets the example of doing the lowliest job in the house that we would know that's how we're supposed to be treating one another. We're called to sacrificial service because we're following his example. Elders are called to be sacrificial servant leaders, and you're called to be sacrificial servants. Ephesians 4:16 says that from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which is it equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You, every one of you, have a unique role in this church. You've got a unique role in the kingdom of God. Simply, there are things that you can do that nobody else here can do. And when you're following Christ, you're going to be able to serve well in the specific areas that he's laid out for you. A familiar verse from Psalm 139 says that your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me. That's for you individually. When as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. He has the good deeds already laid out for you to walk into when you're being a sacrificial servant. How precious and comforting to know that God himself, the creator of the universe, knows each and every one of your steps. And how your path is going to crisscross and impact all those that are around you. You may not have a job in a description, but you have an important job in this church. Maybe it's greeting someone. Maybe it's praying for someone. Maybe it's calling someone. When you follow Jesus and when you walk in obedience, your gifts will be most used to build the body up in love. Another reference from Galatians 5:13 says, for you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as opportunities for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Through love serve one another. And when you're serving one another through love, the elders will certainly give a joyful account. But the opposite can also be true, right? Paul mentions in the following verse, he says, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. When you're selfish, especially selfish with sharing the gift that God's called you to share with the rest of the church, it could tear the church apart instead of building it up. This kind of division has become all too common in our culture. It happens when we allow other things to become as important as Christ. I ask you to be in prayer for the church in America as we enter this new presidential election year and all the things that can take our minds off of Christ. Paul gives the antidote for selfishness in Galatians 5:16. He says, but I say, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We cannot structure this. We cannot have a program that says you will walk in the Spirit because we have gold footprints laid out on the church floor in front of you. It cannot be structured in. It cannot be organized in. But we can promote Christ. And we can pray that each and every person in this church will walk by the Spirit. And in so doing, that they will serve one another in love and build up the church in love. Now, what I love so much about this church is that just about everybody is willing to roll up their sleeves and to address needs. Just about everybody's willing to minister to one another, to serve one another, and to give sacrificially. So I'm not going to spend much more time on this, but just to encourage you to do so more and more. It brings great joy to the elders when you don't wait to be told what you are able and gifted to do in the church. An elder-run church is not an elder-does-everything church. Church family, I want to encourage you that you do not neglect to do good. Church family, you do share what you have with your time, talents, and abilities. It's a great encouragement, and it's a sacrifice that pleases God and allows us to give a joyful account as your elders. Hebrews 10 tells us, let us consider how to stir one another up towards love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I want to thank you for considering how to stir one another up. I want to thank you for considering how to be faithful in your walk of the Spirit as you stir one another up to love and good deeds, stepping forwards into ministry, discipleship, and encouragement. And may you continue to do so more and more. So our third point, elders give a joyful account when the church is full of faithful followers. When the church is full of sacrificial servants. Third point I want to share is, elders give a joyful account when the church is full of submissive saints. Again, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that will be of no advantage to you. Now, some carnal Christian leaders start here saying, I'm the leader and you need to submit to me. I want to tell you, church leadership is not about a bunch of swaggering sheriffs. It's about being shepherding servants who are following the chief shepherd and awaiting his return, and that's when we're going to give the account. Jesus did not demand submission from his followers. Our servant king modeled submission to his father. Philippians 2 Paul says, have this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality to God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. Are you a faithful follower, imitating leaders as they imitate Christ? Are you a sacrificial servant who's looking for what they can give to support the church and leadership, not what they can get from leadership? Then you should have a desire from God to submit to leadership. God moves you to obey leadership as they steer the ship of the church through the wicked waters of the world around us. And when we're doing that, what good is it for anyone if you're rowing backwards? Remember this when you struggle with leadership, when you doubt our intentions. elders, we're certainly not perfect. We certainly need to be approachable, and we absolutely need to be accountable. Nobody wants to be a church or any other organization that's just full of a bunch of yes men or people that go along to get along. We ask that you be communicating your concerns to us, but more importantly, communicate them to God. Now, look at verse 18 of Hebrews 13. It says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. This is our desire, that we be able to act honorably in all things, even though we know that we're fallible and we're going to trip and fall. I'd ask that you be praying for us, that we would have a clear conscience, that you would be praying for us to help us to desire to act honorably in all things. And I would challenge you that if you are unable to pray for your elders, then maybe you're struggling at being a submissive state. Or maybe you don't want to bring your agenda into the throne with God because he might reveal it to you as being opposed to his agenda. Please don't let the devil put a division in between you and the elders. We need your prayers to be effective as elders. You know, Matthew Henry says, the more earnestly the people pray for their ministers, the more benefit they may expect from their ministry. Again, verse 18, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. Now, we don't just do our first Sunday of the year pray for elders as a ritual. We do it because it's absolutely, totally necessary. And not just on the first Sunday, but every day of the year. We need you to pray for us. We simply cannot do this on our own. You know, one commentator describes the role of elders as peacemakers, prayer warriors, teachers, leaders by example, and decision makers. The responsibility is great. The battle is real. And the enemy will seek to sift and divide us and even take us out. But when you pray for the elders, you're joining in that battle. You're submitting to the elders that God has placed over you and submitting to Christ as the head of the church. You know, Paul ends his teaching on our battle against the powers of principalities with a call to prayer, and a prayer specifically for himself. Remember that from Ephesians 6? He says, and pray also for me. Paul needed prayer too, right? That the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I might declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Now, if Paul needs prayer, so do we, right? Please be in prayer with us as we recognize Dan as the new elder. And consider how you can help him to give a joyful account of his service as an elder by committing to be faithful followers, sacrificial servants, and submissive saints. Let me end with this encouragement, again from Ephesians 4, 16, that reminds you that from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. And we see this in action in Hebrews 13, 20-21, where it says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good thing that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The great shepherd, Jesus, the perfect shepherd, he's raised up imperfect under shepherds to lead his church. And he's surrounded with a bunch of other imperfect humans who all want to desire that God's going to be glorified and we please him together as this church. And through the healthy church, God is still building people up. He's still equipping each one of us with every single thing we need to do his will. He's always working in us when we're operating as his church, under his will, and it's pleasing in his sight. Amen. I want to take the time now and call Dan and Doug up front, and I want to move together with the rest of our service and in bringing Dan into the elder board.